Joe Guest Special and Man the Mic with Life Real Thee. Hello.
Hey, it's that time again, and welcome to The Real Life with Mike the Man. And as always, I've got my special guest, Joe, here.
Hello.
How's it going, Joe?
Yeah, how's it going with you?
All right, we also have another guest in the studio today. It's Dan the Lighting Man. Hey, Dan.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Yeah, why are you here?
I just happened to show up today.
All right, that's great. You know, we always love it when people just happen to show up and then we kind of like chain them to the wall and make them participate in one of our shows.
Can you loosen the cuffs just a little?
I'll try, but, you know, they rattle a little, so we'll try and muffle them just a touch because then, you know, you might hear them clanking in the background.
Thanks, anyway, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, anytime. Anyway, Joe, how are you?
Looking forward to my week-long vacation.
Oh, a week-long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us in the private sector have managed to scope out over 2.5 weeks.
Not all people in the private sector. There are people working during what's called Chol HaMoed.
Suckers!
Yeah, but it costs you. It costs you.
What does it cost me? It costs me a couple of vacations days. You know, it's mandatory vacation. It's enforced. So that means they're not taking the 100% vacation value.
Whatever.
But I'm on vacation.
Yeah,
so.
But speaking of vacation, actually, Dan earlier told us that he's sending out his CV.
Vacation? CV? All right.
Work. We're talking about work.
Oh, so. Okay. I'm like, that's an interesting tie-in there. So, Dan, you're sending out your CV.
Yes, I am.
All right. What are you qualified for?
Well, I've done a lot of things. Anything from aviation to medics to running a warehouse to computer work.
All right.
And he's a lighting man.
And a lighting man.
How dare I forget.
So you could say that you're a Dan of all trades then, huh?
Yes, I can.
Because Jack already has that, his title. So.
Actually, I don't need to. You've already said it.
All right. So I've already said something, so it doesn't need to be repeated.
It doesn't need to be repeated?
It doesn't need to be repeated.
Aw.
Anyway, we're going to go to the feedback from the last show. There's some interesting feedback.
And the feedback corner, as we know, is the
Bougie Corner. Anyway, as always, Bougie has been complaining about not having enough time to listen to the show. Unfortunately, her time is, you know, filled with busy work, and our time is usually not as full. That's why we can.
Hey. We record this late at night usually. So
well,
you know,
yeah.
We make the time.
We try.
We're very trying.
Yes. And anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to everybody who wrote that, you know, their support on quitting smoking.
Yeah, practically everybody said something about that.
Yeah, I want to thank you all. It's great. I need the support. God knows, I wake up in the morning, smell the fresh air, and go into a freaking coughing fit. I just don't know how to deal with this fresh air. It's too freaking fresh. I need some contamination. I have been used to pumping shit into my lungs for the last, 15 years. Suddenly I'm not. What am I supposed to do?
Move to Tel Aviv.
Oh. Yeah, you got it natural there, huh?
2 points for that one, Dan.
Yeah. Oh, smooth. Anyway.
No, actually, that's the point, that the air there isn't smooth.
No, Dan was smooth.
Oh, right.
Dan, you're so smooth.
Mm.
Okay, right. That's
yes, right.
What else was going on there?
Bougie gave a wonderful comment. She said that Joe is so gallant. Everyone should vote for me. Vote for me!
Yeah, vote for Joe. Joe is going to be running for the committee that oversees
the board. It's called a board.
Okay, it's called a board. Very boring. The board that oversees the ISFSF&F.
I feel like ISFSF&F.
Yeah. And he's running for chairperson on that.
And apparently Erez is running again, so there's going to be a real, you know.
There's going to be a Monday Night Raw. Welcome. Let's get ready to rumble.
In the red corner, Erez with the boots. In the blue corner, Joe is running away.
Yeah, you better run from those boots, because those boots were made for not walking. They were made for kicking
ass.
Yeah. Anyway. So, you know, just close off the Bougie Corner. Thank you all again. we did get invited by Mikhail to actually go and review the restaurant.
Well, he's paying, isn't he?
Well, I sure hope so, because I can't afford
it. I can't afford it.
I can't afford that restaurant. So, yes, if any of you out there want to send in donations so we can actually go and review a restaurant.
We're going to give it it's the name of the place that he said we should go to.
The Red Heifer. The Red Heifer.
Now, we're not going to, we're going to call it not the Red Heifer Fund. We're going to call it the Carnivore Fund. You know, so if you want to give us money for the Carnivore Fund, feel
well,
free.
You know something? That's a little biased because the Carnivore Fund means I don't get any of it.
What's the point?
Oh, fuck you. I want to eat too. It's called Feed Us Fund, okay? It's okay. The FUF.
F-U-F. Yeah. Fuff.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck off.
Yeah. I thought it was fuck you, freak, but hey, that works too.
Freak, fuck off. Who cares? Anyway, so that was the feedback corner. So, Buji, thank you very much. And as always, we're going to try and get you recorded at Icon and see if we can put your voice on the show. Yes. My okay. Deviant lifestyle. Yeah.
Speaking of places to eat.
Places to
today,
eat.
Today, for lunch, Mike didn't have work today, so he showed up in the middle of town, and we decided to go to the Village Green.
The Village Green.
Yes. Now, that might sound like it's a really nice green place. Well, there's nothing green about it except
yeah,
that the
is.
Food is
no.
green.
The actual metal bars lining the windows outside the, you know...
Oh,
the,
yeah, they're green,
they
too.
They are green.
Yes.
The chairs are green. There is a green
some
motif to the entire place.
Okay. Point is that it's a veggie place. Pure veggie.
Not only veggie, healthy. It's healthy. They've got sautéed tofu.
Yeah,
they've
go
got
figure what
sugar
Mike was doing there.
Oh, shut the fuck up. All right.
They also have vegan meals as well.
Yeah, they've got it all.
Yeah, they've got it all. UHF.
Oh!
Anyway, for those of you who didn't get that misquote, look it up. anywho, to get back to it, we enjoyed our meals. I just went through like this salad bar and took like half of it. You had the cheese lasagna.
I had a salad and a cheese lasagna that was so freaking delicious.
They were delicious.
I ate way too much.
Yeah.
I ate way too much.
But it was also very expensive.
Extremely expensive. You pay for quality there. It is all organic vegetables.
Yes.
You pay for fresh vegetables. It's good stuff. It's not the crap that, you know, is left over at the show.
And they serve it with a smile.
Oh, they're lovely. They sell the salad by weight. You actually
yes.
order your salad. You don't order. You walk down and you pull it buffet style. You throw it on your plate. When you get there, they weigh it in. And yeah.
Weighing in at 47 pounds is Mike Solid. Yeah. Yeah, but also their cooked stuff is also very good. Their pastries, like you didn't have you their cheese lasagna, their tomato quiche is superb. It's really to die for. It's
okay.
That good.
Okay, I'm not gonna eat it. I'll die.
Oh God. Oh God.
It's one of those figures of speech. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
go
suck.
Figure. Okay. The fact that I suck is relevant because.
Okay. Moving on. Yes, moving on.
So the point is that how much would you give it on the 1 to 10 scale that we've been using?
Well, to tell you the truth, the 1 to 10 scale is starting to become a little messy because I don't think we've ever given any place below like a 6.
Well, that's because
we have been to some pretty crappy places.
What place have we been that's worth? I've been to places that have been worthy of under a 6. None of them have we reviewed on this show.
All right, then we got to do some under a 6 shows because otherwise people are going to say, oh, well, these guys just overquote everybody. We got to review some crap places.
What about that last place you guys spoke about? The one with the waitresses were really bad and the hair. You gave that an 8?
Well, Joe gave it an 8.
The food was good.
The service you said was completely horrible.
The food was good. The food was good. And I said that's why they were under 8 because of the service. But the place is really styled well, and they've got a theme going. They worked it together. But just the service sucked. So
yeah,
it doesn't bring you down to under a 6.
The whole scoring system is a little convoluted. We have yet to work out all the details. Hey, out there, if you guys have any ideas on a really good scoring system.
A point system for restaurants. We're up for that. And that, I think, so I'd still, you know what? If I compare it to that, I'd say it comes in a little under that. So that comes out to a 7.5. That's what I'd give the Village Green.
Yeah, so if you've got a good point system, feel free to email me at miketheman@gmail.com. Or you can dial into the international dialing code number 1-206-888-MIKE or 1-206-666-JOE-B. Yeah, so you can leave us any kind of manner of comments, feedback. Just get on the phone and scream for half a minute. I don't really care. Nobody's used the phone number yet, so...
Wait a second. Nobody used your phone.
Yeah.
People have used mine. Like, my brother and I think you or somebody did.
I didn't use your number.
Whatever.
I
got flowers.
Yeah, you got flowers for dead people.
Yeah, and flowers for Algernon.
No.
Anywho.
Anyway. All right. Well, speaking of restaurants, there's something I'd like to talk about. It's the guys in the entrances of restaurants. Now, typically, when you go to a nice high-quality establishment outside of this country, there's a nice maitre d', concierge, somebody
hostess.
There, hostess. Somebody who says, hi, good evening, welcome to blah, blah. Oh, a party of 12? No problem.
Wait,
we'll seat you immediately.
Welcome to blah, blah means they're on our show, right?
Well, yes. If they're on our show, blah, blah is definitely...
Definitely, yeah.
Yes. We use a lot of blah, blah products here.
Yes.
You know, almost the equivalent... Blah, blah is becoming a much bigger company than you would think. They're a big Acme competitor.
Yeah, and they're coming out with a whole series of yakety yak stuff.
Oh, that stuff is amazing.
Stuff
is,
that shit's great.
Yeah. And let's not even talk about their line of yada, yada, yada.
Oh, God. And their campaign, Shooting the Breeze, it's just wonderful.
You were talking about maitre d's and hostesses, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, for that cool, fresh sanity check. Okay.
Sanity check?
Yeah, sometimes we're not really sure if we're sane or not. So.
Since when were we?
Well, I've been proclaimed legally sane.
Oh, my condolences.
Yeah, well, I fooled them, didn't I?
Yeah, you did a good job on them. Anyway, we're talking about the guards.
Yeah,
now,
so, no, I was talking about hostesses.
Hostesses.
You just gave it away, you
whatever.
Fucking fat fuck.
You're calling me the fat fuck? You can't go down your 2.5 flights of stairs and back up without dying, having 3 heart attacks. You have to have your lungs replaced. You're coughing because you laughed. You're so out of shape.
God, you are the fat fuck. I still stand by my statement.
Fuck.
Yeah, you're the
fuck. I'm
the fuck. Anyway, yeah, okay, for all of those of you who are listening, okay, if you have listened to the show up until now, you're not allowed to rewind. How many times have we said the word fuck so far?
That is a dare.
Yeah.
Anywho, so they got the hostesses, and they're really nice and really polite, and they show you to your seat, and then they get the waiter to come over and take your order after the hostess has usually given you a menu. Yes.
Now, in Israel... We don't really have that concept. A few places do. But the hostess is usually the second line of defense. The first line of defense is typically a young, between the ages of 20 and 21. 25 young.
Nah, I got to disagree with you on that one. I've seen as young as 18 and as old as like 65.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. They do. These
they
old
do
guys.
Have some old guys. You know, sitting there going, yeah. Waking ass.
Yeah. Now, it's great because all these people do, okay? Some of them wear a uniform or some sort of...
And some of them even have a metal detector.
Oh, some of them have that crappy little metal wand that it looks like it's, a sex spanking tool or something like that.
That is what it is. It just moonlights as a metal detector.
Oh, it moonlights as a metal detector.
Well, you know, you have to use it sometimes. Where'd you put that ring? I can't
find it. Oh, God. Yeah, getting back on track here. So, yeah, these guys will just stand there, and occasionally they will sweep men. They'll occasionally look into a purse,
and
they will always
the
ask
line.
You. They will ask you
to open your bag. In Hebrew, that's
niftach tik bivakasha,
or in the Russian slang
niftach tik bivakasha,
or in the shortened version tik vikshe.
Now, another line that they are very, very commonly asking is, Yesh Neshek, do you have a weapon? And I always come up with the wonderful response, yes, I've got a tank strapped to my back, can't you see?
Mine was, do you think I'd tell you?
I don't get it. Are they expecting people to say, yes, I've got a weapon, ha-ha, I'm going to blow you all away?
Isn't it also a little too late to find out?
Actually, the best one that I saw was some guy, a settler, had a M16 with his back and a 9mm on his waist. And the guard actually said, Yesh Neshek, and the guy looked up and says, Ain, no, I don't have one. And the guy said, oh, okay, go on in, and let him through. M16 on his back and a 9mm
on his belt.
On his belt.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah, do you have a weapon?
Okay.
No.
Okay. Now, they're aggravating as all shit. Like, at Hebrew University, when you walk in the campus from anywhere, You're checked. Then you walk down to the next gate and you're checked. Then you go into the library. You're checked. You go into the next. It's like they got seven checks, you know, for everything, and nobody wants to bomb the place anyway.
Now I am a big fan.
Let me just say a little anecdote.
All right,
little anecdote. Fan. Yeah, you're a big fan. Yeah. Anyway,
fuck you.
You're full of hot air. The thing is that when I last time I was in Grand Central Station in New York, I walk in. There's this cop at the doorway, and I automatically open my bag, and he looks at me like, "What the fuck do you want, kid?"
Okay.
I was like, "Oops, sorry, I'm looking for my notebook." No.
I walked into a mall in New Jersey. Into a mall.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks. I walked into a mall and I.
Why? It's the best shopping ever anywhere.
Yeah, just grab and run.
Yeah. Hey.
I walk into this mall.
I meant being in New Jersey.
Yeah. And the doors are these huge glass doors, and it's huge and massive. Because, you know, everything is bigger over there. So I walk through the doors, and there's nobody at the door. And I'm like, you mean anybody could just walk in here? Damn! I'm not shopping here! There's terrorists in the building! Ah! Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. You know, it may be a false sense of security, but it's a sense of security.
Yeah, it's also become a cultural thing. You know, everywhere you go, you expect it. And it's becoming
plan for it. I don't carry shit with me.
Yeah.
Because that, I know that certain things will set it off. So I try not to go anywhere with a backpack.
Two cell phones together will set a metal detector off. So I always take one off. And I always pull one out of my pocket because I have two. And I hold it up while they're checking me. And then I go through.
Yeah. It's not fun. But it's part of life here.
Of course, you know the safest place in Israel, don't you?
No.
It's Misrata Panim.
Why is that?
Any terrorist that would walk in would just take one look and go, nah, I'd be doing him a favor.
Yeah, the mysterious
the
interior.
Of the interior.
The mysterior.
Yeah. The mystery of the exterior? No.
Your exterior is definitely mysterious.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Especially that picture you took of me from Bidayon.
Woo!
You're
going
to put it up now in the link. You're going to put a link to it.
Oh, yeah, you're getting a link to that.
The point is that the Ministry of the Interior, if you've already gotten there, they have lines that you get. They open their doors at 7:30. At 6 o'clock, there are people there in sleeping bags.
Well, not sleeping bags per se, but they've got their sweaters on. No, they sit there, they line up, they fight over, you know, who gets in first.
The
worst. And then when
bureaucracy.
They get in, they get the numbers. And, you know, if you come at 8 o'clock when the door is actually really, you know, just creaking open because of the 1,000 people that have just pushed through, and you grab a number, you know, if it starts at 1, you're at like 742.
You go away, you come back, and suddenly this guy who knew this, you know, he took 7 numbers. Why? Because he has 7 friends who need numbers. They do this a lot, and I've seen it. It's ugly. It's part of the Israeli culture as well.
Yeah, waiting. Yeah, waiting. Bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy.
Oh, God.
If we're talking about waiting and shit, Dan today had a wonderful experience with his motorbike, with time and waiting. It's over to Dan.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
So, Dan, tell us a little bit about your day.
Well, I was told to show up at about 10:30 and drop off the motorcycle so that they could redo the seat, which would take approximately 2.5 hours.
All right, now give us a little background here on what exactly the procedure you are describing is replacing your seat.
Well, they were refurbishing the seat so that it, you know, had a nicer back to it so that I could, you know, sit back a little.
All right. Thank you. All right, moving on.
And so I got there around 10:45, and 4 hours later, I was able to drive off.
So they couldn't even provide you with, like, a replacement seat for the duration of the time?
No, it wouldn't have done any good, because I had to stay in Tel Aviv to have this done.
Well, you could drive around Tel Aviv. I don't know. I mean, they're not in the best area of town, and you don't want to be caught there alone at night now, do you?
No, but it was middle of the day, and 10 minutes away by walking was the Tel Aviv Central Bus Station, which was air-conditioned.
Yes, air-conditioned. That place was actually designed as a commercial center, a center of commerce.
Do you know why it failed?
Why?
Because their planning was horrendous. For safety reasons, you can't use approximately half of the building.
For safety reasons, yeah, and you can't.
It will crumble down on people if they use it.
Yep.
What's interesting is the first time ever I walked in there, it was many years ago, and I walked in with a guy who had done architecture work, and I'd worked on a few buildings here and there back in the States, and Between the two of us, it took us over 40 minutes to find an exit or a way out of the building.
Well, they do have lots of exits,
now
a lot
do.
Of them.
Now they do.
They always had them. They're just closed. They've always had them. They're always closed.
Yeah, that's true.
Why did I just go into this? Oh, all right then.
I think it's the Bex.
Yeah, all right. Cheers.
Clink, 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 clink.
Yeah. Moving on. What are you saying, Joe?
I'm saying that you drink too much.
No, you were saying something, and then I interrupted you about...
No, we're talking about the Central Bus Station in Tel Aviv.
Central
Bus
Station.
But the point is that we're talking about Israeli culture. One of the things about Israeli culture is that they will give you an estimate of how much time it will take them, and then it will take them three times that amount or two times
that
amount.
Well, they'll take more.
They'll take more. The point is, I would rather get good service. If something's going to take you 45 minutes, say 45 minutes, or even say an hour, and then...
Say an hour. I'll be 15 minutes late. You've had the extra time to get any kind of, you know.
And I'll be happy.
Yes.
Don't tell me, when I moved apartments.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. I don't remember if I mentioned this on the previous show. Where, you know, they just as the Australian guy would say, they shit me. they just jack you around. And they're not serious about it here. They're not serious about service in this country. Not yet.
Well, this is not service-oriented country. Anyway, Dan, you were telling us about your adventures into the Central Bus Station.
Just a question. You were talking about your bike before. Does your bike have a name?
No, not yet. Have not given it a name.
Oh, okay. Well,
anybody who has a good name for the bike, do you have a picture of it that we can put online?
I think I've got a picture. I can put a picture online.
We were offering names. The person who gives us the best name, who offers the best name, will win three Frisbees.
Three Frisbees?
Yes, the intangible Frisbees.
Invisible, yes! Intangible Frisbees. Woohoo! Anyway, we will post a link, so email me at mikethemann@gmail.com or crawl into the numbers and let us know What kind of name you have for Dan's bike?
Wild thing, bum bum, bumping, you make my heart sing. Bumping.
Hey, Kermit, what are you doing?
Oh, hi, Floyd. I'm just playing an unplugged version of Wild Thing on this ukulele here.
Oh yeah, well you see, Animal wanted to play the drums on this.
Okay.
Plug in!
Sure. Yikes!
Yeah!
I love you.
Wild thing.
What?
Bing. What? See, I just wanted to do a nice quiet version.
In.
Animal.
Plug
no,
in.
Animal.
Plug
great
in.
Animal.
Wild thing. You make my heart sing.
Heart sing.
You make everything.
Wild thing!
going on?
Shake it, baby. Shake it wild.
Animal.
Log in!
Kids like this when he hadn't had his nap.
Mm-hmm. One thing, one thing!
Time for num nums and a nap.
Oh, so tired.
Yeah.
Now that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder
Bag
what.
Him!
I wonder what. Things. Yeah. Okay, shut up.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so Dan, tell us, do continue. You were in Tel Aviv and they eventually finished it off. And how was the ride back?
The ride back was really nice. The seat was much more comfortable. It was more of a bucket seat. It was just a great ride.
Now, Dan, you obviously know that I have the pretty much same model bike as you, my Stella. Arr.
Yes, I do.
And I'm going into a pirate. What the hell? Arr. Would you suggest that I get the same procedure done on my bike?
I would definitely suggest it. I would, in fact, insist on it because, again, you do a lot of driving or a lot of riding for at least an hour a day. And, you know, with the bucket seat type feel, it's much more comfortable.
All right. I will definitely have to get this done. And, in fact, if you want to see it, then you'll have to come to Tel Aviv and see it because who knows? I'm going to try and get it done during the next few days. And I'm going to be in Tel Aviv for ICON. Well, I'll post another link for ICON for those of you who haven't been there, damn it.
And while you're an ICON, I'm going to be on a trip with the Harley boys.
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep. What is it, the 19th and 20th?
19th and 20th, and if it rains, it'll be Sunday and Monday, whichever dates those are.
21st, 22nd.
Yep.
Yep. So Dan is going on the Harley trip, the annual Harley trip. They're going
They have two annual trips, and from what I was told this evening, there's approximately 90 riders going.
Oh, that's got to be sweet. Oh, I'm so pissed I'm missing that.
And as per your instructions, I will take plenty of pictures and videos.
Oh, yes. Take pictures and videos. If they're really good when you get back, we'll post a few.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that the Harley Club took a ride out to Jordan. They saddled up, I don't know, 60, 70 bikes and went to Jordan where there are no motorcycles over 250 cc's. So
wow.
These are huge freaking beasts. You know, 1,100, 1,300, 1,600 cc beasts riding through Jordan with police escorts. You know, and Israelis going, hey, hey, look at us, look at us. We are driving in Jordan. Oh, God.
And all the Jordanians going, that's nice. Leave your money here.
Please leave your money. We like your money.
We like you as tourists.
But go away. Spend money. Go home.
That's the idea of tourists.
Yeah.
Actually, the other night, last night, I went to see, if we're talking about things that we've done recently or we're not, I went to see a play at the Khan Theater.
The Khan Theater. That's a dig out of a cave kind of film.
Yeah, that's
going
what
on.
It is. It was two short plays by UNESCO. I went with our friend Jane and Rachel and Ezra.
Ah, yes.
Yes. What's Rachel's blog? Delirium something?
Hey, ho, ho. If she wants to, she'll post it, all right? You don't send people's links unless they request
true.
Unless they're like Arianasi. And then we out them like a motherfucker. Yeah.
Anyway, went to see this play, and I was so surprised at the fact that professional theater could be not much better than amateur theater that I have been in.
Well, you must remember, this is Israel, okay? The level of theater is not comparable to, you know, stuff that's out there, because we've been doing it outside this country, not you and I, but, you know, Anglo-Saxon in general, have been doing it a lot longer.
Well,
how long has Israeli theater existed?
That's true, but
okay?
So what?
Shakespearean theater, for instance, has been around for a long fucking time.
Since when?
Oh, I don't know dates. The 1600s.
1600s. That means that he lived. That he lived in 1600 and.
Oh shit. 60.
Well, that's about when he. Yeah, that's when he started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. Good for you, Mike.
Damn, I can guess.
You can guess. Yes. Anyway, the point is that the recent Shakespeare I was in was just about as good as this.
Well,
production-wise, the whole thing, which just goes to show you that just because you've paid money for theater doesn't mean you're going to see a show that's that much better than community theater.
Well, you pay for community theater, too.
Yeah, but the difference?
Oh, yeah. The price difference.
Price difference. I mean, yeah. It wasn't cheap community theater, but it still was nowhere near as expensive as probably mm-hmm. those tickets were.
Yeah, and some of the community theater is better. Some of it is not as good.
True.
But yeah. Anyway.
Anywho. So that's just for you to know that there are other cultural things going on in Israel. Some for better, some for worse.
Oh, God. You had to do
I
that.
I just had to. Sorry.
Dan, hit him.
Yeah. Please.
Yes, Joe has been hit. You couldn't hear it because it was a silent, dull thwack.
It was more like a swoosh.
A swoosh?
A swoosh. But if we're talking about hitting, I've decided that I'm going to try and open a campaign for Kampf. You all remember Lampf? Mm-hmm. We're changing it to Kick-A-Mike Friday.
Oh, God. All right, listen.
No?
Lampf. It worked. It was a fun day. It hasn't
Kicking
been recurring.
Kicking a mic could be fun.
No.
Yes.
No.
Wouldn't
no.
it be fun to kick Mike?
No.
See?
Fuck you.
You're outvoted, and besides, I hold the veto power.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you're vetoed. There you go.
George W. Bush holds the veto.
Not in my world, and I have the real life.
All right, yes, of course.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of real life, there seems to be an occurrence that keeps on happening in this city. It's the fact that a certain company keeps on expanding and expanding.
And then closing, and then expanding, and then closing, and then
expanding. Then downsizing, and then firing, and then hiring, and then hiring some more.
Would you by chance be talking of IDT Call Center?
Oh my God, how did you guess?
Heck, sometimes they even hire and fire the same people over and over again.
Oh man, that's terrible. Anyway, Dan here is actually a veteran of the IDT world.
Oh no!
Now, Dan, please tell us. I mean, you're back from the early days of IDT, right?
Yeah, very early. I was the second group. I was one of the second people second group to go through.
Really? What was your employee number for the record?
23.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to submit this evidence to who am I submitting evidence to?
Public item number one.
Public item number one. Dan's employee number 23. So, Dan, you were there back when they were just a smaller company called CSM, when they were doing just taking some calls and helping some people out.
That is correct. CSM was customer service management, which basically we were just customer service. That's all we did was customer service.
And who back then, who was customer service for?
It was still for IDT, but we were a subsidiary instead of working the same company name.
You mean you were doing telephony for the states?
Yes.
Okay, so now that, how long did you stay there?
8 months.
8 months! And what shift did you work?
The 11 p.m. till 7 a.m. shift.
Now, for those of you who don't know, IDT's MO is to have people working pretty much around-the-clock shifts in order to work both U.S. East Coast, U.S. West Coast.
Actually, when I first started, it was the 2:30 till 11 shift.
Oh, God. So you were doing East Coast USA.
Correct.
Yeah. So they like to cover most of the USA working day, and now I understand they've expanded significantly into Europe. So you were back there, and they didn't have a day shift then?
No.
No. Okay. So, working at IDT, was there any kind of outgoing phone calls?
When I first started, no. After I had left, they started in with the sales and the stuff for the Jewish agencies and what have you and different venues and this and that, but while I was there, it was just incoming customer service.
Okay. So, Dan, have you ever, you know, worked as a telemarketer?
No.
All right. Have you ever gotten a call by a telemarketer?
Yes.
What are your views on that?
Well, they're just trying to do their job, but why do they always manage to call when you're just sitting down to eat dinner?
Well, they've got
must be magical, I'm telling you.
They've got their, you know, different call lists.
I have one rule about telemarketers. If it's a telemarketer, I say, I'm not interested, and I hang up.
Well,
I try
you're
to do
nice.
It politely. No, I try to do it politely. I say, thank you, I'm not interested, goodbye. That's
now,
nice.
I actually worked in the telemarketing sector.
I did for a bit, too.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the truth. It was not something I'm proud of. It's a terrible job.
Even worse than being a system administrator. Oh, oops.
Okay, you're going to get hit. Again.
Again.
Okay.
See, being a, you know, telemarketer like that, you know, I didn't like what they were doing to me, but again, it was a job. And I've done some interesting jobs as well, and you got to give them credit where they're at least out there trying. They're not just in there, oh, I can't find a job, you know, I'll sit and take money on the dole.
All right, well, here's the thing. That's where I find a little bit, it's a job, okay? Everybody starts there.
Right.
On a simple, maybe incoming calls, you know, okay, we'll help you out with your phone thing, your phone program. Oh, I'm sorry, miss, you didn't pay your bill, therefore you've been disconnected. Yet, then... Okay, as many of our friends have, they've gone through the process where they want to become on a different program. They want to do outbound calls because you get commissions on sales. And you know something? Telemarketers are the scum of the earth.
Yeah, they are. Sorry to say that.
Okay, they suck.
And even if you're like in charge of them or doing anything, it's worse.
If you're a supervisor for a telemarketer, you were a telemarketer.
Yes.
And then you got to be a supervisor. Fuck you.
The only thing it's comparable to is being a lawyer.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Yep.
I hope my sister doesn't hear this one.
Dina?
Someone else who wants to beat you up, huh? Damn, that was just long, isn't it?
Yes. If you want to beat Joe up, drop me an email at MikeTheMan@gmail.com.
Or call me and set up a date.
Yeah, I bet you would enjoy that, yeah?
Yes, please.
Oh, God. Now I get off my bed.
I love giving him these images, and then he goes to sleep, and I wonder what he dreams of.
No, don't. I'm trying to... Okay, memory blank. I'm going to format my freaking brain today.
I think that ending of being hit reminds me of one of my favorite songs.
Okay, is it a hit song?
Yeah, how'd you guess?
I don't know. It's a hit number. Anyway, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
But this is how I feel. You know, when I get hit and say, oh, wait a second. No, that's not the right sentence. No. Still, anyway, our song is going to end with a song that was also covered on that same album that the previous song was covered on.
Yes.
It was covered on with Ozzy Osbourne and Miss Piggy.
Yeah, but we're going to do a different version because too much Muppets is not healthy for the soul.
Hi-ho, I've heard that it goes to the brain.
Yeah, the Muppets on the brain is...
Bag him!
Cut it out. Anyway, we'd like to leave you with a little word of inspiration from Dan.
And what would that word be?
I don't know, but Dan, you definitely know it. So hit us with that word of inspiration.
You are the wild thing.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been wonderful. This has been our unlucky 13th, so if the show fucks up in the middle, it's not our fault. Blame Christ for crying out loud.
And remember, keep the lights going.
Yeah, keep the lights going.
Keep the lights going. That is our new motto for the show.
Keep the lights going. Yeah. All right. Email me at MikeTheMan@gmail.com. Leave feedback on the LiveJournal site or call in to international dialing code 1-206-888-MIKE or Joe at 1-206-666-JOE-B. That's it for us. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Dan.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye!
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of the guns and pumps and explode into space. I like smoking lightning. Heavy metal thunder. Racing with the wind. And the feeling that I'm under. Yeah, gotta go make it happen. We can climb so high. I never wanna die.
can climb so high.